Come on. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As a reminder, so the word healing in the New Testament is where we get the word therapy, and it actually means to be in process, therapizo. So oftentimes we talk about healing, and we need to understand that the healing may come in a process. But the word miracle in the New Testament means instantaneous. There is no waiting. There is no delay. So sometimes we get frustrated because we're using the word healing, and what we're expecting is a miracle. And then other times, we don't receive the miracle because we've actually so programmed ourselves to the process of healing. And I just want to deal with some clutter as we're singing these songs and we're making these decrees this morning. That you would know the sound of the Lord's voice. That you would hear it so clearly. That you would know when he says, I'm moving in miracles right now, you would see the instantaneous manifestation of whatever it is he's doing or wants to do. If he's saying, I'm healing you, that then you would know there's a grace that is sufficient. There's a patience that is enduring. The word grace means it's the empowering presence of God to fulfill his will, to fulfill his purpose. Meaning you and I have a grace to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. And yet there's this clutter, this murmuring that often comes and robs and steals. And some of the land that we're living in is inherited land. It's inherited, meaning it's been passed on to us. Some of what we do around here, what we call church, we've inherited. God bless the previous generation. They got a lot of things right, but they weren't perfect. God bless what we're doing. We're getting a lot of things right, but we're not perfect. Meaning we're leaving an inheritance for the next generation. But what I want to make sure that we're aware of is that if it's not of the Lord, we don't need to own it. If it's not of the Lord, we don't need to keep repeating it. If it's not of the Lord, let's not keep, you know, working that soil over. Let's move to the field that he's given us. Let's do the work that he's called us. Let us practice the gifts and the patience because we've inherited him. And so, Lord, I thank you that right now, as we've sung and declared, that we'd have eyes to see and ears to hear what we've inherited in our faith. And if it's not of you, Lord, then, Father, we bless wherever it came from. If it came from a person, if it came from a past generation, and it's just something that you're not doing or we're not supposed to be doing, we honor our patriarchs and our matriarchs, but we just release that to you. Father, if it's come from the hell and a demonic influence, then we definitely cut that off in the name of Jesus. And we won't allow that murmuring to quench our heart or slow us down. I pray, Lord, that we'd be a people who recognize right now that if we need to confess and repent for any murmuring we've done, any grumbling that is quenched, or the picture I actually got was that we're actually passing on to the next generation our murmuring. And so, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Let us not leave an inheritance that is filled with things that are not of you, that are filled with good intentions and great efforts of man, but, Lord, lack the Spirit of the Lord. Father, because we want to see it move from generation to generation. We want to see a movement of your kingdom go from glory to glory. We want to see our sons and our daughters inherit something that, Lord, you gave us as a seed and we planted, but they get to eat the fruit of. So we thank you, Father. We thank, and I just want to ask you to ask Holy Spirit to open your eyes, open your ears. Look at what you've inherited. Look at what you're familiar with. Look at your traditions. Address any murmuring. And in grace and in love, say, thank you, Father, that no longer will I live that way. No longer will I allow that in my life. No longer do I have to live under that. And I'm going to leave a generation, an inheritance, maybe greater than the one you received. Leave an inheritance that goes beyond your lifetime. that goes to your children's children. That's a proverb. A good father leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So I pray that we'd have eyes to see beyond ourselves, beyond our time, beyond our lifespan. And may it be filled with a perspective of hope, faith, and love. Amen. Would you take a moment and just bless one another? Would you welcome them? Would you just encourage them in the spirit? Check in on those that we prayed for earlier. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we honor the worship team this morning? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning and welcome if we didn't greet you before we got started. Real quickly, the other thing that's just kind of stirring on my spirit right now as we get going, the idea of prophecy, right? Prophetic utterance. You know, I feel like I want to say it this way because this is the way the Lord showed it to me. It's time to take your trigger finger and start pulling the trigger. So prophesy over your life. This is not about being titled a prophet. It's not about, you know, entitlements or a label. We're all called to prophesy. But I think, can you all just raise your trigger finger and just make sure it works? Everybody, anybody got a faulty trigger finger that we need to pray for? Everybody's working? Okay, good. So then there's no excuse for you to begin to prophesy over your life. And what do I mean by that? Those songs we just sang, I believe, can be a prophetic statement if you're in a place where you're not feeling really confident. I believe. Prophesying to the darkness that the light has come. Darkness, see this light that I am. Pull that trigger finger. Some of you are looking at me going, I don't know. What does this mean? Well, let's just experiment. Would you look at somebody and just pull your trigger finger by blessing them, prophesying over them? And it might be as simple as, you're going to believe like you've never believed before. You're going to see things like you've never seen before. You're going to do things like you've never, you're going to do things without fear. You're going to do things in confidence. You're going to be healed. Let's just exercise that trigger finger before we go anywhere. Josh Pallon is our speaker. He's got a great message. It's going to be good. But before we even get going, pull your trigger finger. How many of you are right-handed? Yeah, you're now lefties today. Pull your left hand. You're going to have two guns. I don't know. You know, I don't want to create a bad image, but you got two trigger fingers, you know, double-barreled. Just let's go. Pull that trigger finger. Prophesy over your feet. In the name of Jesus' feet, you can only go where the Lord goes. Prophesy over your heart. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I have the heart of the Father. Love is easy. Loving others is easy. Come on, how many of you have ever said love is hard? Yeah, I mean, I used to say it all the time. Man, it's really hard to love you. Or I wouldn't say that to the person, but, you know, it's in my mind, it's like, it's really hard to love you. And then the Lord one day, you know, pulled the trigger finger and said, then it's the wrong kind of love. Because my love is easy. And what I realized is it was all selfish. And so that trigger finger got to work, and it's just, I prophesied over myself, declared over myself, retrained my brain and my thoughts to go, Lord, I know this is difficult, but in you I can love them. There's a capacity to love that comes from you, not from myself. And if I'm struggling, then all of a sudden that trigger finger comes out and go, Lord, show me how much you love me. Because when I see that love, I can then love others. Amen? Amen. One more time. Pull those trigger fingers. Amen? Come on. We're going to release more prophetic utterances. And for those that have a prophetic gift, I want to encourage you, break off that prophetic entanglement. We've talked a little bit about that in the past, but just the prophetic entanglement with all the news and the media and all that other stuff that wants to dilute or discourage or, you know, I mean, there are some great prophets out there, but then there's also a lot of prophetic entanglement. And if that doesn't make sense to you, but it's moving in your spirit, come find me and I'll definitely give you the download for understanding how to break free from some of that prophetic entanglement. Prophetic entanglement, because I'm stuck on this. So somebody's come along in your life and said, you'll never be able to do that. You've entangled yourself with your thoughts to that belief system. And now you live under that belief system. That's prophetic entanglement. Prophets are prophesying about certain things happening and they're not happening, or they're not happening the way they're prophesying. And yet we're not allowing the Lord enough space. That was one of the words in worship to enhance or fulfill what God actually intended to do And so we get entangled with the way it was said or the way it's spoken, or we get entangled sometimes with people's tone. You ever had somebody that you just struggle with because of their tone or their attitude? That's entanglement. And again, the word tells us, you know, strip off all entanglements, get rid of that stuff. So again, with your destiny, with your call, with your purpose, again, break off that prophetic entanglement. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to show you a quick video, and then we're going to take our offering. So Marnie, if you could throw that video up on the screen there. Amen. And then we'll pray for kids and release them this morning.
Good morning, Echo Hills Church family. This is Pastor David over at the Wesleyan Church in Clarkston. A while back, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Mike challenged your church family to think outside of the box just a little bit and take a love offering, a love gift, to support another ministry. This time, that ministry happened to be our church family. You know, we rented your facility a while back for our youth camp that we were doing, since we couldn't go anywhere because other camps were shut down. So we had our own locally. And what a gift. You guys have a beautiful facility. You have amazing leadership. Wow. What a gift to be able to partner with you. Thank you so much for what you did to support us and to love us and the youth ministry that we're doing and the other things. Man, and Pastor Jeff, Pastor Mike, I love you guys. We love you all, and we're just so thankful for that. What a gift. You are a blessing. Thank you for doing what you are called to do, to fill heaven, to tell one more person about Jesus, and then another, to make a difference in our community and everything else around us. Hey, I love you guys, and I'm just so thankful for you, and I'm just blown away and grateful. Hey, have a wonderful day. Be blessed. We love you, and we're praying for you. We'll talk to you later.
Amen. Pastor David Finister of the Wesleyan Church, a good friend of ours. We do a lot of ministry together. But if you remember back in June during our devoted week, we took an offering for Clarkston Wesleyan Church, and we were able to deliver that in July, and then I had an opportunity to go preach. And so he got us this testimony video, and I share it with you this morning because last week was last Sunday, we took an offering for Homes of Hope as part of our devoted week. And if you weren't with us last week, this is the last Sunday to make a donation, at least part of this time, to Homes of Hope. You can make it out to Echo Hills Church. We'll make sure Homes of Hope get it. Homes of Hope is a local ministry that is fixated on helping foster families deal with foster kids and providing respite and resources and stuff like that. And so that was our choice for this devoted time. We took that offering last Sunday, but I know some of you weren't here and asked, can you still give? Yes, you give, and then we'll cut them a check. But that's why we do these things, because we want to be able to show that our giving isn't just about turning on lights, isn't about just taking care of resources here, but it can also go out into the community and bless others. And so I say thank you. Pastor Mike says thank you. And again, it is so humbling to realize the impact that we're having, not just here on Sundays, but outside of that time. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to make our offering decree, and then we'll pass it on to Josh and get the word going. Around here, we make this decree every once in a while. So with one loud voice, would you join with me? As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Grab a Bible. Everybody raise your trigger finger again, because Josh is going to give us a lot, and it's going to require us letting it loose this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you welcome Josh Pallon this morning?
Hey, okay. Actually, Mike and Jeff, can you guys come on up here for just a second? We're just going to get this started. Listen, this morning, I'm so excited. Like, worship, usually on days that I preach, I'm not mentally there. Holy cow, this morning, you know, like, that was a good surprise. So Since the Lord is definitely flowing this morning. So I wanted to just, I felt like it was really important for us to just talk about our apostolic mandate. And I'm going to explain that if you've never heard of that before. But oftentimes, the three of us and the two of these guys together get pretty excited about what Jesus is doing in an office with one another, with their wives, as they're talking about, gosh, what God is doing in the body of Christ. And some of that, we're not very good at acknowledging those things, specifically because it's sort of difficult to talk about ourselves. So this morning, I'm just going to be talking about the apostolic and how that functions in this house. And before we got started, if you could grab, you have a mic with you. I just want to spend, like if you could give like a minute. I know this is tough, but like
a minute.
Just real quick, like, What is our apostolic mandate? What has the Lord showed you? I know that you've had some stuff, and I'm going to throw out just a term that you guys may both recognize, but an apostolic hub. Yeah. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. So if you take just a minute, and Mike, if you had a couple words after that to share, I just it'd be awesome for you to acknowledge that.
Yeah. So Josh, I'm going to assume you're going to develop apostolic mandate, but for me and my understanding. And what we've gleaned from the word is that an apostolic mandate is all about commissioning. And it's about being a place that empowers, equips, and sends. Sometimes that's church planting. Sometimes that's ministry. But it's also partnering and networking with other ministries. So what you just saw on the screen with Pastor David Finister and Clarkson Wesleyan, what we announced with Homes of Hope, River City Dance is using the building. That is apostolic in the sense that it's bringing the body of Christ together, the many different unique giftings, and it's encouraging them, it's empowering them, and then it's partnering with them to go out. And so I think I've used my minute, but if I could attach a word to it, it's about commissioning and sending people out.
I think our gifting, my gifting is pastoral, and the apostolic issue is to seeing people made whole, families, individuals made whole and brought into a new place of destiny for what God has for their lives. The church is only as strong as the individuals in the church. So my heart, my passion is to see people made whole and then brought into whatever God has for them for the kingdom of God. And then either they're launched or stay here to be a part of the kingdom of God in what he's building. So that's how our gifting is different. I'm pastoral, just as apostolic, and so it's bringing the giftings together to make the kingdom of God what it's supposed to be in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit and the apostolic mandate.
So good. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, bless these guys. So obviously we have a mandate from Jesus, an apostolic mandate from Jesus, to establish heaven's culture on earth, right? The Great Commission, we were commissioned by Jesus himself in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. We've been given an apostolic mandate. We also have, this house has an apostolic mandate on it. The reason I'm talking to you about this is because I'd like to talk a little bit about, I just felt like the Lord was highlighting Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We're not going to turn there just yet. You can if you want, just early on. But there's something about apostles there. And I think it's easy for us in the church in the United States of America that we sort of miss some stuff in translation as we're reading the word, right? And I've enjoyed some conversation I've had with both Mike and Jeff about this, and I just felt like it was pertinent for us to sort of revisit what this looks like, because I think sometimes it's easy to come into church and you're just going through the motions, right? You had your busy week, you had stuff happen, and then you're showing up and you're being encouraged, you're getting filled up, and you're going out and getting ready to do it again. And the thing is that there's something more underneath the surface that I feel like the Lord wants to begin to stir in your heart, because he's activating you to bring his apostolic mission wherever you put your feet. Because we have apostolic leaders, but you've been apostolically commissioned by Jesus to begin to establish heaven on earth wherever you go. No place is safe. The blessing of God has no boundaries. It is who we are as a people. And oftentimes I think our faith is lived out very personally, very privately. And we've done that as a way to honor others, not to make them uncomfortable. But I'm trying to tell you that the body of Christ functions best when she is beginning to release the glory of God and people are able to see what the Father really looks like. And we need to put that on display. So let's have a conversation. I'm going to go into the Word, and we're going to dig in a little bit about this subject of an apostle so that we can see the goal is what? Miracles and signs and wonders. To see people added daily. To feel the awe and the joy of the Lord. And just seeing God move in a radical and crazy way. So what's interesting to me, I'm just going to go through some facts. I'm going to try to stay on my notes because I have a lot to cover this morning. But what is an apostle? Now, the origin of this word predates Jesus by almost 400 years. Is that not crazy? Jesus didn't come up with the word apostle. Okay, so what does it mean then if it predates Jesus' time by about 400 years? Let me read this to you. So in the church context, it's someone who's commissioned by God with the authority to establish a foundational government of the church within an assigned sphere of the ministry by hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church and by setting things in order according for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Okay? It's governmental. When I walk somewhere, the government of God comes with me. I begin to change and transform the environments that I step in because I am bringing the government of the kingdom with me wherever I go. Why is this important? Because your family is not safe. Your place of business is not safe from knowing and encountering the love of Jesus in every place that you go. This is the joy of knowing Jesus. This is the joy of having him radically transform your life. Is that you take it into every place that you go. And it's for you and it's for others, okay? One of the things that the word apostle means, so this is predating Jesus. I'm just going to share with you about the origin of this word. It's Greek. And it's something that the Roman culture used. And so it has to do with establishing places of government. Let me read this to you. Apostle means ambassador. It means one sent from another. It means fully authorized representative. So that when an apostle is sent out, he is a delegate or an ambassador of his sender. Did you get that? When you're sent, that means you've been commissioned by Jesus. And and that is what makes the rules change, if I could put it that way. When you go to a place, let's talk about a library for a second. If you were to go to the library, you're supposed to be quiet, right? That's the rule. You got to be quiet in a library. If you take the kingdom with you into this environment where it's quiet, I'm not saying there's going to be yelling and screaming. I'm totally pulling this off the fly, by the way. So if you guys are like, did he work on this analogy? Or no, I'm doing it right here on the spot. So, okay. So in this environment, you're bringing the kingdom that's with you. It's something that's communicated just by you being there. You being physically present in that environment. How does that work? You didn't preach the gospel. You didn't collect a tithe. You didn't do any of these things. How can that be an apostolic environment? Because the kingdom is with you. You're an ambassador and it's delegated authority. I've got a couple awesome stories to go along with this that first and foremost is we can catch in Genesis 24. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to brush over the top of it. You're more than welcome to visit this story. But this word apostle also has a very tight meaning word in the Hebrew. And it's, forgive my translation, but it's celiac. Celiac. And celiac means that you have been given the permission from the sender to act as he would to do their business. So you're literally that person somewhere else. Huh. That's an interesting concept. Where do we see an example of that in Scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Genesis 24, we have a story about a guy named Eliezer, and he's actually the servant of Abraham. And so what Abraham is way advanced in years. He's staying home. He's not going out and doing business. So what he tells Eliezer to do is he goes, listen, I need you to conduct business for me. Isaac, my son, he needs a wife. We are not going to take one of the Canaanite women and make that his wife. So here's what I want you to do. I'm commissioning you. I'm giving my name to you to go back to my homeland, and I want you to find me a wife. And what your decision will be my decision. Your decision will be on my decision. Here's how you go and you select a wife for my son. And he goes, well, what if he doesn't? What if she doesn't come with me? That's his first thing. What if the woman doesn't come with me? And so, what do we do about that? And he says, my son can't go with you. He's not supposed to go back to that land. So you're conducting business for me. So Eliezer takes off and he goes back to Abraham's homeland. He finds a wife, Genesis 24. Check it out. It's really cool. And he is actually operating as what's known as a celiac, or someone who is commissioned, deputized by the one who sends them to do business on, and whatever he promises is the promise of the one who sent him. Does that make sense? Yeah. He's got the check that he can cash. Okay? That's who we are. That is part of our apostolic mandate. The other meaning of apostle is governors and general. It's really interesting. The very first occurrence we have of the word apostle is admiral of ships. He is an admiral of ships. Now, this company that was sent out with these ships, they actually, I want you to think of it this way. It's not just an admiral of ships. Each one of those ships are actually really important. They're really important because their goal is not to just go and find uncharted territory, but is to begin to colonize, is to begin to go and to bring about the culture that they're being sent from. So when an apostle was sent out with this fleet, he had all of the things he needed to establish that culture in the land they were going to discover. We're talking about the craftsmen that they needed, those that could build, those that had supply, those that would manage and take care of the livestock, those that would begin to be the leaders or the governors of the area and establish the law of the land. They actually went fully equipped for the purpose of colonizing places and discovering uncharted territory. This is part of your apostolic mandate. Wherever you go, you are to establish the kingdom on earth. The other meaning that it has is patriarch or father. Oh, sorry. Actually, I want to hit this one thing. Nehemiah is such an incredible example of a sheliach, or of an apostle. He is, check this out. He literally checkboxes all of the things. Who was he sent by? A king. So he was sent by a king to Jerusalem to begin to build up the walls and reestablish worship, to reestablish that community. And so when he went, he was sent by the king, which meant that what he was actually doing was he was serving in a military function. It was a military service unto the king. And so then he was not only the governor, but he became the chief strategist about how to implement the rebuilding of the walls, but really how to recolonize Jerusalem, to establish in her the things that God had planted from generations past. And we begin to see this incredible thing happen. And this is a perfect example of an apostle in Scripture, is seeing Nehemiah plopped down and commissioned. Not only was he commissioned, but he was resourced. Do you remember reading that part about that story? Is that when he went, not only was he serving the king, but he wasn't sent without resource. He was actually sent with everything he needed and with all of the connections he needed for lumber, for livestock, for anything that he needed, he was going to get from the king. It is the same for you. You will be resourced. So if you feel like, man, I don't know if God is going to do this where I'm at. No. Let's not forget, he writes the checks. We say yes, and he writes the checks. Okay? So he will deliver. The other thing that apostle means is father or patriarch. I love this. Could you throw the scripture from 1 Corinthians up on the screen. I want to read this to you. This is the Apostle Paul, and I love this. He makes it a point to express to those that he's serving in the Corinthian church that because of his assignment, that he's become a father to them. And it says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, you have not have many fathers. For in Jesus Christ, I became your father through the gospel. And I exhort you, therefore, to be imitators of me." You know, teachers are awesome. Tutors are amazing. Tutors are what establish and build the groundwork that we operate our lives on. But what's really important is that we have a father. Now, that can mean a lot of things for a lot of people. Because I don't know about your background with your dad. I have no idea if you've been given a healthy perspective of what father looks like or not. But fortunately, the one we serve is a perfect father. So when he sends you, you get everything you need. Right? Okay. Okay, so the last one I want to share with you is passport. One of the things that happened over time is this word apostle just became sort of the slang, the lingo for a passport. And what it meant was, is it gave you entrance and exit into a place where you wouldn't normally have permission. So the apostolic ministry is to give you access to places that you wouldn't normally have access to. Think about this for a second. Let's just think, okay, is this true? Do I believe Josh? Is this true? Let's think about the Apostle Paul for a second. He is operating in the office of an apostle. As we read scripture about he has encounters in third heaven encounters, and he encourages us to remember that we are seated where? In heavenly places. So he is beginning to give us revelation. He's beginning to what? Give us a passport to access places in the spirit that we wouldn't have otherwise without the blessing that comes from the apostolic ministry. Okay? So when we bring the kingdom to wherever we are, it should bring revelation. It should give people access to heaven in a way that they don't normally have access to it. And this happens by you saying yes. This happens with you who are like, "Man, I sure don't know what this guy up there is even talking about, but he doesn't know where I work. He doesn't know the people I work with. He doesn't know the stuff that I talk about. He doesn't know any of that stuff." That's okay. If you will give him your yes in that location, in that place, in your heart, he will use you as a passport for others to come into the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, let's read Acts 2, 42 through 47. Let's throw that up there. This is where I started, you guys. This is where I had this. It was like gravel. I read this part, it was like gravel. And it was not gravel in a bad way, because that's usually like you get rocks and stuff in your knees. But, you know, I mean, it was just something that like it had friction to it. And I was, you know, I was just enjoying reading scripture. And this is a big one. And I just felt like the Lord really encouraged me. This is all of everything we've just covered was so that I could read this to you. I talked a little while just so I could get to this part. Because this is who you are. This is your destiny in the Lord. Let me read this to you. Thank you, Jesus. "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles." Some translations also add miracles in there as well. "And all of those who had believed, they were together. And they had all things in common. And they began selling their properties and possessions, and they were sharing them with as many as with anyone that might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and with sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Come on, this is a special atmosphere to be part of. One of the key markers that you're in, like you have an apostolic mandate on your life, is that there's miracles, signs, and wonders that are going on around you. Come on, we just had testimony this morning of a girl's heart palpitations. In fact, we didn't even check in with people that we prayed for, so I'll do that here in just a second. But miracles and signs and wonders. Okay, let's do this. Miracles and signs and wonders. Oh my, they're awesome, right? Here's how you know this church is different. We're talking about ourselves. This is fun, right? Okay, so when someone comes into church at Echo Hills, they're a guest. Maybe you're a guest here this morning. But what is different about this place than other churches that you go to or have been to? Worship is different. Come on, that's good. Yeah, that's right. Yep, come as you are. Right? Absolutely. Open mic. Yes. We make the potential for messes. That is so true. That is so true. Why? Because this is a family. This isn't a business. The context of all of this is family. Is that we have a father and that we're connected to him. And as we begin to have the fingerprints, the markers of who he is, we begin to realize that we are not just part of some business and some process that we go through on a Sunday morning. I mean, at this church, it doesn't have it in scripture, but we take song requests sometimes. You know? We have people who are getting up. I'm just going to tell a story without names. But someone who came and visited here, and someone got up from the congregation and they gave a prophetic word, and it was I'm trying to make sure I'm editing details before I say these things. But there was a prophetic word, and that word was released, and then people were asked, whoever that witnessed with, to stand up, and they were going to be commissioned. And the person's response was, "Who gave that person permission to speak into my life?" This was the visitor. Listen, this is not for me saying they're not doing it right and we're doing it right. Hear me. You need to make sure that you understand that's what I'm definitely not pointing to that. What I'm saying is I'm making light of this environment is different. Why is it different? Because this is a family. You have been deputized. You have been commissioned. You have been released to show the world what he's really like. And that makes this expression on Sunday mornings a little different than others. And we prefer it that way. It's a safe environment. That's right. And do we make messes sometimes? Sure. And we clean them up. That's part of being a family, right? Who's had kids in here before? Come on, making messes and cleaning them up. This is a story of my life, man. Clean up the living room. Clean up the living room. Clean up your bedroom. Seriously, you've made a mess in my room. Is that for real right now? We know this. This is life. So let's go through and let's break down Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 just a little bit. I want to dice it up and have a little more conversation on it. So what did we find? We found the believers doing what? Devoting themselves to. I want to talk to you about this word devoting. This word devoting is I believe it's only kind of in the English American translation. It's only kind of in there. The word, we understand what it means, but this is not something we do. Sorry. This is not something we do. This is something we talk about and have an understanding of, but this is something that we're invited to step into. But devoting themselves, which is to persist and to stay in a fixed position. To persist and to stay in a fixed position. What did they devote themselves to? The apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer. Fixed, pointed, devoted. You have a role to play. Listen, I would propose this to you. This is why I'm talking about apostles this morning. This is why I'm talking to this house this morning about this. This is not a reminder sermon. This is to tell you who you are so that you can step into the world and we can function together to release the kingdom. Because people need to know. People need to know about Jesus. And they need to know that the life that's within you. I'm calling out your destiny right now. I'm pulling it out of you. I'm saying, come awake, come awake, come awake, come awake. You have been sent, you have been called, and you've been deputized and given what you need. And I would propose this, that all of the things we read about in Acts 2, 42 through 47, they don't happen without a devotion to the apostles' teaching. Don't get this twisted. This is not the apostles' teaching. This is the teaching of Jesus. Do you realize I'm not talking about the whims of men? I'm not talking about, you know, the latest televangelist and the thing they're talking about. What I'm talking about are the teachings of Jesus. And then Jesus will commission leaders that will begin to lead people, and it'll release the family on the earth. These are huge, huge things. This goes way beyond having a good service on Sunday. And this goes right into why you're on planet Earth. To worship Jesus. To worship the Creator. And to show the world what he's really like. That's our honor. That's our privilege. So it's really important that we acknowledge apostolic leadership in our life. Both of these guys have been fatherly or apostolic in my life. Their purpose isn't to make my life convenient. There's some suffering involved. I don't mean bad suffering. I just mean challenge, right? There's a challenge that's there. Come on, Josh, this is who you are. And we do that for one another. We stir that up in one another. And they're not here for my comfort. Praise God. I love that. I'm so glad that they're not here for my comfort. You know what? My kids never make my life comfortable. They were not put here on earth to bring me anything I want, to make my life easy. That would be weird. That would be really weird if that happened. So one of the results of the body functioning together that we see in Acts 24 is we see a sense of awe. I feel like I was, like this morning as I was in worship, that was the place I was in. I was just in this like awe. I was like, wow, Lord. And it was cool because I wouldn't have thought about it the same way had I not prepared this. And I'm like, oh, that's the awe. Yeah, okay, cool. You're awesome. Miracles, signs, and wonders were a result of the disciples of Jesus or believers of Jesus. And when they devoted themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer, they saw miracles, signs, and wonders. They saw all those who believed were together. Now, this is the one thing that Mike and I talked a little bit about that I really appreciated. But so, listen, this thing is powerful for us because it's a power of, it comes in choice. Here's what I mean. So in the time of Scripture, especially those that were professing their faith in Jesus, there was a lot of persecution. And so what we find here about them sharing supplies with one another, the church was actually coming under a great deal of persecution at the time. So them sharing together and doing life together and eating together and selling their things and making sure, what it was doing was it was actually creating the ability to sustain life as they were transitioning and in this place of, hey, we went from being in fairly good standing to now all of a sudden being sort of not only an outcast, but we're not even allowed in some communities, they weren't even allowed to purchase like food or supplies or any of that kind of thing. They couldn't conduct in daily business. So realize that's the context of what this is sort of addressing during that time period. So for them, they had to. For them, they had to. If you were a professing believer, you were going to deal with some persecution. They had to do this thing together. Now for us, it's different. I'm here to tell you right now that it's actually more powerful for you to choose something than to have to do it. It's actually more powerful for you to choose with your will to do something than it is to be forced to do something. Whoever's been forced to do something before, does it come right out of your heart? Does it just come, you know, frolicking in, you know, at everything it needs and release the love and joy? No, you have to do it. It's the law. Or you're required to do this. But when you choose, when it's a matter of choice, it changes that thing completely. And so I would propose this to you. This thing of choosing to be together, even though it may be weird in the sense that it's not common and we don't see it happening, we don't see the expression of Christ look like this. Maybe this is, we're not a product of this. I can tell you right now, I'm not a product of this. This is all adventure zone for me. I've never been here before. This is super fun. You guys, I didn't even start going to a charismatic church until about 10 years ago. We were made for this. And when we live this way, it's unique and it's peculiar. And we find out things about ourselves we never would have known. I want to talk a little bit about some obstacles for us that we may encounter to walking in this thing. I really want this to be practical for you, okay? I need this to be practical for me. I do. I'm sorry. I'm just a simple guy. I like to laugh a lot. I like to enjoy the presence of the Lord. So it's got to be simple. It doesn't mean easy, but it does mean simple. Okay? But listen, I think one of the things that really messes with our ability to do this thing and to walk this thing out, especially if you're coming from an environment that this wasn't alive in, where you weren't seeing miracles and signs and wonders, you weren't seeing people come together, you weren't seeing these things happen in a community. If you're not used to that, then this is why this is really important, is that because we can get distracted by things that are unimportant. And here's what I mean. Does anybody go to like a restaurant and they expect to get good customer service? Yeah, right? Totally. So you go to a place, right? And listen, I'm not a weird guy about this. My mom has made this interesting. Mom, if you watch this, I love you very much. And she'd laugh, so it'd be good. But, you know, I don't make a scene with when customer service isn't where it's supposed to be. I just remember, I don't come back. I don't make a big deal out of, you know, stuff not being done right or whatever, but I don't come back, or at least I don't order that meal again, right? So oftentimes when this whole idea of being in a restaurant, what's the point of a good restaurant? What if, just for example, so in my house, I'm the dishwasher, okay? Tiffany cooks and I clean the dishes most of the time. And if I do my job well, then I eat tomorrow. That's how it works, right? But it would be weird if you went to a restaurant and when you got done with the meal, you were like, hey, you need any help in the back? I'll go ahead and I can run the dishwasher and do some stuff. Why would that be weird? Because that's what we do in family. When you're in a restaurant, you're actually paying money for people to take on responsibility so that you don't have to do that thing. Make sense? You're like, yes, totally makes sense. I do not want to do anything with the dishes when I go to my favorite Happy Day restaurant or whatever, right? I don't want to do that stuff. When we start getting these things mixed up in church, as church as business and vice versa, it gets really weird. So just like it'd be weird if I went into a restaurant and started treating it like it was, like, let's just say I was a waiter at a restaurant and I was serving Mike and I'd be like, hey, Mike, how's it going? And he's like, yeah, good, man, good. And I go, man, how's your marriage? How are things with your kids? And you're like,
I don't know you.
Chicken parmesan? Like, you know, like, why are we talking about this? I don't have access. It'd be weird because that's a family thing.
Right?
Right? So let's talk a little bit about what it's like if you were to come into church with the expectation of some business stuff. it starts to sort of tangle some things. And we start to realize that in a lot of ways, we've been trained to be consumers. But when we come here, it's family. This is not a business. My wife told me to be gentle on this one, and I will be, because I have to say this. If you are here and church is easy for you, you're not doing something right. Relationship is hard. Jeff was made a statement earlier. Love is easy. Relationship is a struggle. Love is easy because love begins in his heart. And we're getting a revelation of that. But relationship is a struggle. Can I tell you this? This family structure, this thing, I don't know whether to call it an organism or an organization or whatever family is. It is designed to develop you and to mature you in a way that will prepare you to live the life you've been designed to live. That is the function of family, is that's what it does. Wouldn't it be weird if your kid all of a sudden just stopped growing when they were like 10 or 11 years old? We'd be calling doctors, man. We are designed to see things grow in the setting, in the context of family. So it'd be weird to see someone all of a sudden, you know, progress to a certain mental state and then for them to become stagnant in that place. Do we see things like that? Yes. And when we do, are you like, oh, that's totally normal? Or you're like, ooh, what's the story with that? I want to know about that. See, we naturally understand this. We know what stunted growth in family looks like, and none of us like that. It's like relationships. Anybody have a relationship? Well, don't raise your hand. I'm calling you out. Don't do, but if you've got stuff going on in your family, it's not normal for it to stay in that place. Because family is designed to push it forward. It's uncomfortable. It is a struggle. And it's really good, you guys. It is the most incredible blessing that we've been given from God, is to love him and to love others. I'm telling you, this is, I make a joke with Grady about this all the time, but I said, hey, there's tension, and it's bad tension, and then there's good tension. You definitely want good tension. If there's no tension, watch out. You broke a string, right? Tension. There's a healthy tension. Relationship, healthy tension. If you feel like, oh, I just am struggling with this relationship right now, man, doesn't it feel good for there to be health? Okay, here's another thing. There are people that have this thing where they don't feel pain. And when they don't feel pain, they can hurt themselves, and it can actually be pretty awful. Pain is necessary. It's one of those healthy tensions. We need to have those things in our life because that's how we understand how we're doing. Pain isn't bad. It's telling you what's going on. So if you have relationships that are under strain, praise God you can feel it and you're not numb. Family. Family. Cool. So in family, I'm just going to run through some characteristics here. We can go back and forth on some of this. But in family, it's like I was telling you before, it's designed to grow your maturity. It's designed to push you forward. And there's a struggle with that. In business, it's convenience. You're paying for all of the inconveniences to go away. Right? Who wants to do dishes at the restaurant? Not me. So if you come into a church and your expectation is that they make it convenient, that they deliver the word and that they deliver worship and they deliver these things to you, and it's not something that you're walking in personally, I'm encouraging you right now. The revelation that Jeff gets and the revelation that Mike gets and that Jen gets and that I may share or whoever gets up and shares, it's beautiful. Thank you, Father, for that. But you were made for the kingdom. Your ears are tuned to the Lord. Your heart has the ability to be radically impacted. Your life has the ability to bring transformational resurrection power. Your life. And I love the revelation that's in this house. So please hear me. It has nothing to do with the teaching that's here in this place. It's about the body of Christ coming into who she really is. And it is inconvenient. Dang it. It's good, though. Family is about growth. Businesses are about your money. They don't care about your growth. They want your money. That's the goal of a business. If you came into this house, into this church, and you gave money, there are people that are like, hey, well, this, you know, I've heard this said before. Not about I never heard about here. I've heard this before. Whatever. Sorry, I'm stepping on eggshells and landmines around here. I'm trying to be courteous as much as I can. But if you think that this place is like a business, then we want your money. But if we're a family, what are we doing? We're sharing among one another. Listen, I'm not trying to sugarcoat this and like, okay, he really does still want our money. No, listen, what I'm telling you is this is how we learn how to function together. This is how we see a need and we begin to give. We begin to let our curiosity. That's what I'm looking for. Where we give money. What's the word? Generosity. Ooh, Lord Jesus. We begin to let our generosity muscle expand and grow, and we give into the kingdom with an expectation that God is good and he's going to continue to do this. He's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to make room for. In the family, with the family environment, it's holistic. It's about the body. But in a business, they're all about appealing to your individual taste. It's selfish in nature. Listen, if you come into this building with an expectation about you or aware of you, I've done it. I do it. And I'm like, Jesus? Because he likes to talk to me about that. And I'm like, let's nip that in the bud. That wasn't fun. The last thing you can do is come into a building or into a place and be thinking about you and be encouraged. Have you ever done that? Oh, man, I'm so dumb. I can't believe I said something or whatever. And you're so aware of something you said or something you did that it's so about you, it actually makes all you want to do is get out of there. Come on. I just want to get by myself right now. I don't want to be around any of these people. Family is about being a disciple and being connected to the Father. A business is about being a consumer and being disconnected. Listen, I'm not telling you that there can't be businesses that have a bend towards faith. Hear me. I'm not, it almost sounds as if I'm like, Jesus, Antichrist. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is these things appeal to different things. And if we bring them, if we mix the context for them, it makes it very confusing. Right? And the last one is, in family, we give and we participate. In a business, we take and we insulate. Listen, this body will not be what she's supposed to be without you participating in what it looks like. The gospel of the kingdom looks like something in you. And we have to see that come alive. And if you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do, it's fine. We have grace for that. You guys, if I just, I could do a whole Sunday of hilarious things that I've done here at church and the grace that people have had to give me in the process, we'd be laughing. We might be crying a little bit. We might be calling for Mike or Jeff to come up and yank me out of here. You know, but listen, I want to tell you that we have to understand that we must participate. Who doesn't, okay, think about Thanksgiving for a second. Who doesn't participate in preparing and having stuff ready for everybody? Kids. Why? It's not a bad thing about kids. Kids, they're not mature yet. They're not mature. You're like, our kids do, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But kids are predominantly those that sit and they are partaking. Why? They're growing in maturity. It's normal. Who else doesn't do stuff when you come to a family gathering like Thanksgiving? Guests. Hey, come and connect. Come and be part. Come and enjoy the family. And if we'll be willing to step out, we could actually invite them into the process. Hey, man, welcome. It's so awesome to have you here. Listen, this is all about family. Why don't you come in? Help me set up some tables. They're like, really? I just got here. Dude, it's not a business. It's a family. You have to participate. You guys okay? Come on. This is family. This is what family looks like. And I'll go back to something I said just a little earlier, is I would propose that without apostolic leadership, none of the things that we see happening in Acts begin to happen. They are the teachings of Jesus. That we would be what? Devoted to what? To each other. To the breaking of bread together. To worshiping. To discovering what exuberant joy looks like. That's one of the ones in here. Praising God and having favor with all the people. What is the one? It talks about gladness. Oh, sorry. Meals together with gladness. That's explosive joy, you guys. Explosive joy in the face of persecution. Why is this big? We have the privilege of being able to choose this. And it's so much more powerful than having to do something. Thank God for this invitation from Him, that God is not a respecter of man. And we can read this and say, Jesus, I want to live this out. I want to discover what this looks like. I'm ready to give my life to just, to, this is, I think this is going to make me uncomfortable, Lord, but I really need you. I'm going to devote myself to prayer, to breaking bread together, to worshiping, and to giving somebody, I'll say this, this is not something we do in the United States. We do not give permission to a person normally. Normally, this happens daily in our lives. In fact, I would submit that this has actually happened in your life before with something a little bit more practical and not based on this morning. But we do not give permission to leaders to speak into our lives where it would begin to alter our behavior. Now listen, when we do, I could ask this of you. I could start asking for testimonies from your life. Hey, tell me a time when you heard Jeff or Mike or someone else who was a leader in your life and they spoke the word to you and you put it into practice. What was that like? That's the blessing of leadership in your life. Because power is on the assignment. They've been actually set in place and deputized, and as long as they're on mission, they have all the resource they need from the Lord. That's how He uses that. This is called mutual submission, guys. The leadership is submitting to the Lord and we're submitting to one another. It's a beautiful picture. And when we do, what do we see? We see miracles and signs and wonders. We see people healed. We see people delivered. We see people radically changed. We see stuff happen. And this is why we're here. The other one is that's a threat to the church. If we're not able to see what's going on, is failing to be family. Not to understand family, not to understand the concept, but to actually be and participate. And the last one that I have, now this isn't a comprehensive list, right? This is just some stuff that I felt like God was laying on my heart, but it's compartmentalization. Secular and sacred, you guys. Why doesn't the kingdom flow at work the way it does here on Sunday morning? Because I have a secular and sacred zone. Oh, Lord. Because that doesn't happen there. That's why, Josh. Because of the people that work there. No. This is the kingdom in everywhere, in every place that you go, giving you access, saying yes. We have, let me acknowledge this, we have many testimonies in this house. If this feels really corrective to you, we have many testimonies in this house of people who has said yes and seen radical transformation and breakthrough. And we could share story after story after story of the goodness of God breaking out in places that weren't inside these four walls. So if it feels corrective, it's not. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to keep going. It's an encouragement to participate. It's an encouragement for you to continue to yield and to lay yourself out for the teaching of Jesus to radically impact your life and for you to live the purpose that you've been given. Right? Okay. Last 3 points. They are just, I'm going to just read them. I'm not going to talk about each one of them. Some of the new lenses that we need to establish. So we just need to spend some time getting our memory refreshed. None of these are going to be life-changing for you. Well, maybe. Jesus, let these be life-changing for us. But living faith out, not as an individual, but living it out as a community. Lord, help us to see. Let's pray this out. Father, right now, help us to see how to live this thing out together, not just privately with you. There's a corporate expression of your love that we can walk in that will actually draw men unto yourself. The word says that it will that they will actually see or recognize us by our love for one another. And so, Lord, I pray that as we begin to see this thing established here and through our lives, that people would come to know Jesus because they are seeing a faith that's not just individual, but corporate. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Let me give you a quick picture of what that looks like. When you tell your kids a million times to clean the dishes, and you have to tell them every time to clean your dishes, because that's their chore. This is real in my life right now. Super real. I'll know it's working when they do it without me asking. That's a sign of maturity. Also, that is personal responsibility. You are doing things without being asked because you care. You're not the weird uncle that sits there at Thanksgiving and just waits for people to bring you stuff. Don't be the weird uncle. Poor uncles, they get a bad rap. Last one is mutual submission. Mutual submission. Laying our lives down for one another. This isn't you guys laying your lives down for Pastor Jeff or Pastor Mike or any of the other leaders here. This is you laying your life down to the Lord. And you'll actually see us laying our lives down to the Lord too. I think we have a unique environment in this place where we get to experience this together. Let's do this. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Thank you for being like, we're a little further. I'm usually like, ha, Jeff, I beat you by like 20 minutes. But in this case, I told you I had a lot to cover. I only get 1 week every now and then. No, I'm kidding. All right. Raise your hands. Say, I make messes.
I make messes.
And it's okay.
Father, thanks
for this house, that I am a son or a daughter, and that your blessing is on me. We bless our leaders. May you give them wisdom and understanding and integrity and hope to lead us, to lead this house well.
Of all that you need because of the blood of Jesus. And when we gather next Sunday, we'll continue to figure out how to be family. And we get to spend the rest of our life before Jesus returns figuring it out. Amen? Thank you. God bless you. Connect with the announcements and the bulletins and friends and those that got prayer. If you need more prayer, you know, we'll pray for you. Otherwise, have an incredible Sunday, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.